Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston. Bread for the
broken. You cannot save anyone. I don't care how eloquent you are. I don't care how great argumentatively you are, you know, the debates and all this stuff. None of us are ever going to save anybody in our lives. You're not, okay? So immediately allow the Lord to lift that burden off of you. But you do get to introduce people to Jesus. You do get to share the gospel with people.
Your perspective makes a big difference in how you feel going into a situation. In today's message, Pastor James applies this to how you approach telling other people about Jesus. He reminds you that it's not your job to save anyone. God is the one who does that. When you believe in this truth, you'll be able to shake off the pressure that you put on yourself. Instead, you can come alongside with what God is doing with anticipation and joy. You have the privilege of joining up with the Lord and seeing His kingdom grow. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 16 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken.
Chapter 16, Paul was working his way towards a whole nother direction in his life, and he wanted to get up into Asia. Now, please note, when I say Asia, I'm not talking about the massive continent of Asia. I'm talking about Asia Minor. He was specifically trying to get into Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit was saying, no, you can't go. That's not for you. It's not the time for that right now. Now, if you understand the geography there and how the gospel has gone out, Peter got to minister into some of the areas where Paul was told no, okay? So sometimes God tells you no because he doesn't want you to go there because he's got somebody else he's going to send there. And you're like, but no, I really want to go there. And the Lord's like, yeah, but I really don't want to use you there. I want you to go somewhere else. Here's the cool thing about this, though. I was just talking to a good friend of mine this week, and he's praying through what the next step is for him, following the Lord. It feels like the Lord's stirring within his heart, you know, wanting him to move on. And he had this thing happen, and you know what this is like. You felt this before, where you kind of like, you want to go somewhere because you really like that place, but then you automatically discredit that because you're like, well, no, see, God wouldn't, that's not God, that's me, because I want to go there. And I told him, I'm like, dude, that's not the God I serve. I don't identify with that God. Okay, now I do know that there are times where God will call you into places where you don't want to go. I get it. I understand that. But I also understand that there are times where God will let you, allow you to go to places that you actually are excited to go to. See, we don't ever really talk about that too much because we always, you know, it's that thing. Like, people get saved and they're like, oh man, I hope God doesn't call me to Africa. I don't think I want to go to Africa and all this stuff. And it's like, well, but why would he want you there? Right? Maybe he wants you there so you can learn, like, well, you just need to learn to be submissive and go wherever he calls you to. But maybe he's like, well, what do you like? What do you like? You like that little tropical island in the Caribbean? That's not a bad place to go. Oh yeah. Well, do they need the gospel? Knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. Does Galveston need the gospel? Yeah. You like Galveston? Yeah. Go to Galveston. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not like, but it's like, oh no, see, because I want it, then that means it's bad. Not, like, that's not how it always works, okay? It's not how it always works. Paul, he wanted to go to these places, and the Holy Spirit was closing a door on some of these areas. Now, some of these areas he would get to overlap with, right? But it just, it's not right now. The one place that was really on his heart that we believe that he really wanted to get to was Ephesus. And he made it to Ephesus. He desired strongly to go to Ephesus. And what did God allow in his life? To go to Ephesus. See, sometimes God works that way. And that's okay. And that's okay. Because he really is good and loving. and he knows you better than you know yourself, and he's wired you in certain ways. And it's like, and that's what I told my friend. I'm like, there's a reason I'm not in Canada. That God has not called me to Canada. Because he knows I hate cold weather. I'm sorry. I don't care how beautiful it is. That's fine. I'll look at pictures. That's cool. I am not living up in this frozen area, okay? I'm just not. The Lord, and why would he send me up there? Well, you just got to get over it. I don't think God works that way all the time. I think sometimes God's like, all right, so where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Because it's not really the where, it's the what. It's not the where, it's the what. What are you going to do wherever it is that you go? You're going to represent Jesus. You're going to be on mission for him. So that's Paul. So you can come up to a door and you knock on that door, you want to press in, you want to go that direction, and the Lord says, no, cool, all right, so move on to the next door. You just move on to the next door, and you keep knocking. You stay persistent, and you just keep following the Lord and understanding that he's going to guide and direct you where he wants you. And what we know from Paul's time in Philippi, he absolutely fell in love with the place. And it's not that he didn't want to go there. He just had in his mind, I need to go to this region. And God's like, well, I'll get the gospel there, but I want you to check out this place. Paul goes there, falls in love there, okay? So let's look at this little encounter, the scenario. When we last left off, there was this vision. It was like a dream. And this man from Macedonia is saying, hey, come over to us, right? So they're like at the coast. There's nowhere else for them to go but really across to Troas, all right? So to Macedonia, which will then lead them into, they're in Troas, and then they're going to go to Macedonia, to Philippi, the chief city there. But there's this guy in this dream at night, or actually a vision at night, and he's saying, come over to us. Please, come to Europe, right? That's technically where this is at. Come to Europe. Who's the guy? We don't know. Some of the best thought is maybe that was Luke, right? That could have been Luke. That actually could have been Luke, because we know they pick up Luke here in the story. You know, it goes from they to we. If you're reading through the story, you notice those personal pronouns, they switch. So there's the vision, and Paul wakes up or concludes that the Lord is calling us over there, so let's just go over there. So that's where we pick up. Verse 11, therefore, okay, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and that's like, they were booking it, like they were going. It's almost like it's when you finally, you're praying, and the Lord opens up like, okay, this is where I want you to go. It's like that Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit just fills your sails, and you are booking it. You know, you caught that good wind, and whew, you're right there. This is what's happening for them. So they came, the next day they came to Neapolis, or New City, is how you can technically translate that. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. It's a Roman colony. And they were staying in that city for some days. So Philippi, named after Philip, he and I can't remember the other guy right now, but they took out some assassins, and he claimed the city for himself, basically, and so named it after himself. It's an official Roman colony, meaning it's a little Rome, okay? Little Rome. Poquito Rome, okay? So that plays into effect here because Paul, spoiler alert, is a Roman citizen. He's a Roman citizen. So they are in a Roman colony, a Roman town that functions as if it is Rome. Same rules, same everything, okay? So this is where they go, and they spend some time in that city. They're there for some days, verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Well, this is fascinating. So there's not enough, more than likely, there's not enough Jewish men. You need 10 to start a synagogue. Well, there's more than likely, there's not enough Jewish men living in the city. So there's no synagogue because that's where Paul would go. Customarily, he always went to the synagogue. Well, there's not, but there's a prayer meeting. There's a prayer meeting, and it's hosted by ladies. Well, okay, so if I'm going to write a book on how to start a church, Well, most books you read concerning how to start a church don't start this way. They don't start with like, okay, so pray about it. Well, most of them start that way, right? I'm not going to discredit all of them, but most of them, a lot of them are like, okay, get your funds together, right? Which I don't think is technically necessary, all right? So most of them aren't going to say, all right, so do your research on the town. Know the population, know the average income and all that good stuff. You got to do all this stuff. You got to do all your research, right? And then figure out that, and then you build a team, and then you show up with your team, and you built the team, and you flood, you all this, you know, advertise, you get it all going, and then you do a soft open, and then you do the full-blown grand open, party, celebration, all this good stuff. That's how you start a church now in America. I'm not saying that's wrong, but I also don't see a lot of that. Not in this story, anyways. Paul's like, there's no church here. There's no synagogue. Oh, but there's some ladies praying out by the river? Sweet, we're going to a prayer meeting. Come on, Timothy and Silas, we're going to go crash this ladies' prayer meeting. And that's what they do. They show up. The best way to start a church is with some Gentiles who are praying. Oh, and by the way, they're women. Oh, no. Get over it. They're women and they're praying. That's the Lord is doing something here. And Paul is smart enough, being led by the Spirit, saying, you know what? That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. He could have went around and said and looked for like, so he's got Timothy. He counts as a Jew, and well, Silas is there, and so we just need a handful of other guys, and we can start the synagogue. We can do this thing. No. There's already a prayer meeting. Let's just show up to the prayer meeting and see what the Lord does. That's a brilliant plan. That's a great plan. That's how you want to start a church, with prayer, okay, and sometimes the most powerful and effective weapon or tool in church planting is just prayer. Prayer of the saints. There's been a lot of churches that have started because some ladies have gotten together and were praying. Okay, you guys know my hero, Britt Merrick, Reality Carpinteria. That church started because women were gathering together and they were praying. That's how that church started. Okay? It happens all the time. So that's what you want. I'm not bashing any church planting methods or anything. If it works, it works. Okay. Whatever. I just look at this and I'm like, that sounds really sweet. What a cool story. How amazing is God that he wants to start a church in Philippi, and what's he going to use? A women's prayer meeting. Who has issues with Jesus? Please tell me where you see that Jesus is anti-woman. Please show me that. Because that's what I hear sometimes, and it's like, not here. The church is being started because women are gathered together praying. He seems like he's pro these Gentile women. That's amazing. That is absolutely incredible. You don't hear these types of things getting celebrated, which is unfortunate within the churches, right? It's unfortunate. Can God use anybody? Yes. Praise God he does, because guess who falls within that category? Me and you. Okay? So it's a prayer meeting, and it's all ladies. And Paul's like, let's go hang out with them. So they go. They sat down. They spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. You know that city from Revelation chapter 3, okay? Revelation 3 and 4. That's one of the cities that's mentioned as far as when the seven letters go out. So she's a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. So here's the breakdown of Lydia. She's going to be our first individual in the church of Philippi, okay? You got Lydia. There's a thought here that she might be a single lady on her own. We don't know. Don't know that for sure. But we know this. She's very industrious. She's a smart lady. She's a successful businesswoman is what she is. She's a seller of purple, meaning this. It takes a lot of work to get the purple dye, right? So there's these like sea creatures, almost like snail type things. You got to boil these guys down, and then that's going to extract this purple kind of thing, fluid from them, and that's what you can use. That's one way to dye a garment purple. Well, she's like an expert at this, and she is making money. She's very successful. How do we know she's successful? She has a house big enough to host Paul and Timothy and Silas. Because she becomes their base camp, so to speak, during this whole journey. She opens up her home. She's also she's a religious lady. She worshiped God. That means that she's a Gentile. She's from Thyatira. She worshiped God. She wasn't converted to Judaism, but she worshiped God. So that means she's a religious lady. But the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Religious lady, not saved. She's wealthy, she's intelligent, she's at a prayer meeting, she loves God. But it wasn't until Paul showed up with the gospel that the Lord opened up her heart. This is so cool. This is amazing. She's there at this prayer meeting, and Paul, when they're sharing, they're just sharing the gospel. They're sharing the gospel with this prayer meeting with these ladies, and Lydia's there, and she is focused in. And when Paul starts talking about Jesus and how he died on the cross and how he rose from the grave, she's like, I'm in. I'm in. That's what I've been looking for my whole life. That is exactly what I've been looking for my whole life. I love God. I love, you know, all elements. And she's praying. She's doing all that stuff. But their relationship started on this day. The relationship started on this day. Best way to start a church. People getting saved. People getting saved. And the first one is Lydia. And man, I can't wait to meet Lydia. She's one of those ones, like she's just mentioned here. And she'll be mentioned at the end of the chapter, but it's like you get to heaven, it's like, okay, so where's Lydia at? Where's Lydia? Tell me what that was like. What was that like? You just showed up to a normal prayer meeting. This is just what you did. And then these three dudes show up and they start talking about Jesus and your life changed forever, forever. And we know it was real for her because you can tell by just her immediate response to her heart being opened up. So he goes on. The Lord opened her heart. That's the other key too. It's the Lord who opens the heart. You have this wonderful gospel message. You get to communicate this gospel message to people. You cannot save anyone. I don't care how eloquent you are. I don't care how great argumentatively you are, you know, the debates and all this stuff. None of us are ever going to save anybody in our lives. You're not, okay? So immediately allow the Lord to lift that burden off of you. But you do get to introduce people to Jesus. You do get to share the gospel with people, and you never know, because we always think it's like, well, I got to go, if I go street witnessing, I got to go to where all the bad people are. Good people are getting saved at church. That's crazy. When I was at Bible college, we had people getting saved at Bible college, students. It was the weirdest thing. You're at Bible college, and you're like, you're not saved? No, I'm not saved. I was barely saved going into the thing, so I kind of understood. I had compassion for the, you know, individuals. But you know what? The Lord can open up anybody's heart at any place, at any time, whether it's a church, Sunday morning service, a prayer meeting, some little conversation you're having with somebody at a grocery store where you can't really hear each other because you're so muffled with the mask on. You're like, what did you say? Can you speak up? The Lord, it's the Lord who opens the heart. So whoever you're praying for, this is what you're praying for. That the Lord opens their heart. The Lord does it. You be there if you have the opportunity to communicate the gospel, to share the gospel. Or if you're not there, you can't be there, then you're praying, Lord, send somebody to share. Send a Paul, send a Silas, send a Timothy on the right day so that you open up the heart. It's a great thing. It's a tremendous thing. It's a beautiful thing. But the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So it's all God. It says, and when she and her whole household were baptized, she begged us, she pressed upon us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, this is a business lady who's all about the business, okay? So she's like, look, this isn't optional. It basically is what she's telling them. She's like, okay, look, I'm getting saved. We're going to go to my house. We're going to share the gospel to all my household, okay? I want them all to hear this. And they're going to see maybe this lady who has come alive. We don't know how she was within her household or anything like that. There's no indication of how she was or... All we know is she walks back into that house as a brand new Lydia. And she has all her household there. So that, does it mean she has kids? Probably. She has servants that are working for her? Probably. Okay. They all hear the gospel, and it says that they respond to the gospel as well. And then they're all getting baptized. This is incredible. So she gets, like, this is all in one day. She gets saved. The light comes on, takes these guys to her place. They share the gospel with them, and this is how the Church of Philippi is starting. It's how it's starting. And not only that, but she's like, look, you're staying here. You're going to stay at my house. It's plenty big enough. If you're going to be here in town for a while, you're going to stay at my house. Which is beautiful. It's crazy. That's so amazing. You couldn't ask for a better scenario. So, as that's starting, so you got Lydia, the first person, the first member of the Church of Philippi. It's Lydia, a Gentile businesswoman who is now given her house over to these guys so that they can stay there and have nothing to worry about so that they can just continue on in the ministry, okay? Now it happened, verse 16, as we went to prayer, so they're continually doing the same. They're going to this prayer meeting that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Oh, interesting. So now the conflict is coming in. Because you got a prayer meeting, that's cool. Now people are getting saved. All right, so you can tell the spiritual warfare, it's already been there. This isn't new, but it's getting amped up. And so here's this slave girl. She is owned by a few guys, right? And they are totally taking advantage of her. They are using her and abusing her. You need to understand that that's what's being talked about here, okay? They are taking full advantage of this slave girl who is possessed by a demon, literally. This is not like some, no, this is literally. In fact, the spirit of divination that it talks about here, it's known as, in this region, the Python, okay? So this specific demon that has taken possession of her is known within that region as the Python God. And he has wrapped himself around her. And they actually would have, part of their worship would be towards this this Python demon. And I should have wrote some of this stuff down. Names are slipping my brain right now. They may come back to me, but this is all like, there was one lady that was associated with this, and people from all around would come to her to hear her prophesy, basically, or fortune tell, or tell us what's going to happen to us and all this good stuff.
You've been listening to another edition of Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us as we learned about the early church in the book of Acts together. What an incredibly powerful book of God's faithfulness. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're there, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for worship and Bible study. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so we invite you to come just as you are. For directions and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We would also love to connect with you. Just drop us a note in the contact form to let us know if you've been blessed by this ministry. Would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us in this ministry? Support from people like you allows us to share the gospel in unique and amazing ways. If you'd like to donate, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the donations tab. Any and all donations are welcome and greatly appreciated. We thank you in advance for your generosity in partnering with what God is doing. Our website one more time is breadforthebroken.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure to tune in again next time as Pastor James teaches more from the book of Acts right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humans, who I love.